Hey, 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 it's your girl. Just call me J. Nicole. And this bookcast is about none other than why, yours truly. But most importantly, it's about life with my bookends. So who are or what are my bookends, you may ask? They're my wonderfully talented two sons, also known as my heart and my heartbeat. Without them, life just was incomplete. And I know a lot of people are like, but one of the biggest things that I desired in life was to become a mother. And at 18, I was told that there was a slim to none chance that that would even happen. So when God bestowed them upon me, they made my life complete. And they hold me upright. They give me perspective on what life is and what I should be doing in life. They actually give me purpose each and every day. And because of them, I now have this podcast to share with you the day in the life of the Walkers, or more specifically, the day in the life of Just Call Me J. Nicole and life with my bookends. Hey, 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 it's your girl, Just Call Me J. Nicole, and I'm coming to you live and in color. I am recording the audio part of this at the same time that I'm doing the visual part of this so that you get a two for one. I also include at the end of this message how you can view the visual part of this. It will be on my YouTube channel. I've had the channel for a while, but I have not used it, so I'm going to start utilizing those resources that I have, especially so that I can connect to you guys in the best format that works for you. Yes, I am a teacher at heart, so I can't help it. But again, it's Just Call Me J. Nicole, and welcome to my podcast. So guys, I had a wonderful, wonderful time at church today. So I'm sort of gonna be a little churchy on you guys. I don't mean to be, it was just a very good message. And it was relevant to everyone, not just for the spiritually inclined people, but for everyone. I even have some good old handy dandy notes that I took because I'm so astute when I'm even at church. But I had to. It was as if what Pastor Dow actually had to share, I had to come back and share with you guys naturally, right? So you all know that my podcast is about me being completely transparent and as transparent as possible. And it's not just for me to be transparent with you, but I oftentimes reflect back on myself listening to the messages that I actually put up for my podcast for you guys to hear. So his sermon came out of Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 3 and 17 and 20, for those who want a biblical footnote and go back and read over that. But the message that I took away from it was, sometimes we can't get to where we want to be or should be because we're stuck in that mindset from where we are right now. I'm going to let that sink in for just a moment. And I'm also going to repeat it. Sometimes we can't get to where we should be because we're stuck in the mindset of where we are now. So, Jocelyn, what does that mean? Break it down for the good people. So just imagine, 5 years ago, I was stuck in the mindset that I am never going to have a career that I love. I'm just going to have jobs. I'm going to have jobs that I work because they make money. So I get a steady paycheck. That allows me certain freedoms. And then I can take care of my family, right? Because that's first and foremost important for me, as if you guys didn't know that. I'm all things family. And about 5 years ago, I had this epiphany. I'm like, okay, this ain't where I see my life going. This is not how life should be. I'm like the meme that you guys see. This can't be life. I'm done with adulting. Can I bring this back to Walmart? Because I know Walmart takes everything back, right? I was ready to cash out of adulthood because I was not getting out of it what I wanted. But the reason why I wasn't where I needed to be is because my mindset was stuck in this rut of I just need to make money because I need to be able to take care of my family. I need to be able to make money. There are things that I want, so I need to be able to bring in this kind of money so that I can do those things. And it was until about 5 years ago that I'm like, you know what? I can do something far better than what I'm doing. And yes, it is teaching. So for everybody who's like, I can't believe she just said that. Anything in the world that she could have been doing, bringing in more money, and she decided to be a teacher. I have run from the teaching profession for 20 plus years. I initially did not want to go into the teaching profession because of the money. I honestly, and it's not because I teach now, but this is the reason why I ran from it from all these years, is I was just like, they don't pay them enough. I mean, look at all the stuff that they have to take care of. These nasty kids, because I do think kids are nasty. I work with them all day long. I can tell you they're rather disgusting. They pick their noses and other body parts. They sneeze with without covering themselves. They cough with open mouths. And then when they hit puberty, they start swapping spit with one another and still be doing all that other nasty stuff. So yes. I think that kids are disgusting. Even my own. I have to tell my kids, like, you don't smell that? You need to go, you know, wash. And for my boys, I wish one was home now to tell you what I tell them when I'm like, that don't smell right. I tell them to go to the bath, and I'm like, butt, gut, nut. That means make sure that you wash good in your butt. When I say gut, the whole abdominal, literally from the neck to the belly, okay? Make sure that's clean, because when you do that, you're gonna hit those underarms, right? Okay, we want that area smelling good. We want the butt. But let's come around to the nut, okay? Come down to your genitalia, make sure that's good. And it's not because their genitalia needs to smell good. It just needs to be clean. If I had a girl, I would like, you know, get to your lady parts. Make sure that your lady parts smells the part. Like, you don't, nobody wants you all stinky. And I mean, please, if my husband rolled over and it was a little on the tart side and though in that region, I'm sorry, not tonight. Or you can go to the bath and nut butt gut yourself. But all that to say, guys, is they're nasty. And while I love and adore children, I also was like, there are certain things that teaching children does not pay. It's not enough incentive for me to do. So I shied away from the profession because I just was like, this don't pay enough, y'all. Y'all got to get it together. Nah, this is not for me. But the more that I ran from it, the more it actually tugged on my heart. And before you knew it, I had gotten tired of the song and dance of just having a job. And I ended up in teaching profession. I ended up in the world of academia. And the first thing that I did, sorry guys, I have on these wonderful lashes. My girlfriend, I know I'm interrupting the program, but my girlfriend opened up Decca Lash. It's over by Cumberland Mall. So if you're here in Georgia, Cumberland Mall is in the Smyrna, Atlanta part of Georgia, and she's right down the street from Cumberland Mall. She hooked a girl up. I was one of her models for the lovely ladies who are training to do lash installation. And so I'm getting used to them. So if you see the visual part of this, the video part of this on my YouTube channel, then that's the reason why I keep like doing crazy things with my eyes and cleaning out my eyes. But squirrel moment. Okay. So I ended up in the world of academia. I worked for the Board of Education for a particular school district. And it was while I was there, I started to put myself in the mindset of where I wanted to go. And when I started to, my mind start to change and develop in the areas that I needed to, so that I can be in the place where I was supposed to go, where I belong, doors literally started opening. I went from being in a clerical position where I was using the same skills that I was using when I was in corporate America, which was project management. I went from being in a laboratory setting, being a project manager of like 42 plus studies, to being a project manager for the school district. And there I actually was overseeing the special education department of the school district, and specifically transitions of students coming in and leaving out of the school district. I was hunting down these kids' documents, making sure that we had everything that we needed for them so that they can be successful while they were in our school district. I was helping students who were either within our school district or had been a part of our school district to gain SSI assistance so that they were able to get the medicines and the services that they needed because of their disabilities. So I handled a lot of stuff. And that may not sound like a lot, but that was just the tip of the iceberg of what I actually did. And one day, I was talking to my boss, who happened to have been the assistant superintendent for the school district, but she was specifically over the special education department. And I was telling her what my dreams and desires were, and that I had decided to go back to school for my master's in special education. She says, "Okay, so what is it that you eventually want to do?" And I had to eat crow from all the years that I was like, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to teach. It doesn't pay enough." And I had to tell her that I want to actually go in the classroom. And I'm glad that I ate that crow. It was a delicious portion of crow, to be honest. And after telling her that, what ended up happening is I was approached one day by her, and she says, "Jocelyn, I have a big favor to ask you, and you can tell me no." And guys, if you knew this lady, she is one of the most wonderful people that I've ever met. She has a heart as big as Texas. And I was like, "I can't tell you no. Of course I couldn't. What do you need? I'm, you know, just say the word." She says, "I need you to go into the classroom." Literally, the door opened, guys. It was like, what twilight zone did I step into, okay? So I'm like, oh, okay. But then the thing that was really like, hold on, pause. She asked me to go into the classroom in a paraprofessional setting. And if anybody knows about the world of education, paras don't get paid. Let's just be real, okay? So my next question was, of course, and naturally, what about the pay? Like, I can't afford to live off of the pay of a para. And she says, "Don't worry about the pay. What we're actually going to do is pay you in your current role, in addition to giving you pay for paying for being a para." So I'm like, oh, okay. So I get paid like two salaries. She was like, pretty much. And then on top of that, she says, also track your mileage from when you leave the office to go to the school, and we're going to reimburse you for your mileage. Hold the phone. Did y'all hear that? That was an increase. Yeah, I did the little diddy bop. Take that, take that. And even better was, I would leave the office. I would still be privy to have my job that I worked in the project management capacity or clerical capacity, but I would not be inundated with the responsibilities of getting certain things done on that same timeline, because now I was sort of stretched thin. And she was like, "I work with you. Don't worry about it. We're going to get everything done." What she already saw was that I was capable of handling that stuff in the first place. And half the day I just was like doing other odd and end things that she even would come up with. Like, "Hey, I need you to help me out with this. Could you do this?" I was one of those people that said, I think there's another meme out there where it says, when you do the job so well, people continue to ask you to do stuff. So you become such an expert at doing things that people ask you to. So I became the gopher. People knew that I could finish my job when I needed to, or there would be times where I couldn't complete something because I was waiting for another school district or a parent to give me other information. So I had some downtime, and so they would utilize my downtime for their benefit. But because of all of that, and because I had changed my mindset of where I wanted to be and what I was going to do, and the fact that other people start seeing that my mindset had changed, and I had shared with them, the right people, as a matter of fact, what I planned to do, the opportunities fell into my lap. So now not only was I going to be able to hold my regular position, go into the classroom and get some classroom experience, it was during a time where I had to satisfy some of my work, like real job or on the work experiences for my schooling. And I was able to do that being a para. Like, I just needed to go in and observe the classrooms of certain people and age groups and whatnot. And I was able to do that because my boss had opened this door of opportunity for me, because I had expanded my thoughts beyond where I was and shared them with the right people. And they were able to help open doors to help me move in that direction. When I realized that I'm going to do this faith walk, because that really wasn't what it was. I was like, okay, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm going to do this faith walk. I'm going to go ahead and take this testing so I can become certified and move into the classroom. I went in and I took this test almost blindly. I had done a little studying, but not the amount of studying that I really needed to do to ace it. But guess what? Another door opportunity opened up. And because I had real classroom experience and I had been sharing my passion and my thoughts with those right people, I aced the test on the first time. So then it's like, okay, you passed the test, now what? I was like, okay, so now I have nothing holding me back from pursuing this career. You got to apply, Jocelyn. You got to start applying for the job. And I would say initially, I was like, I had my mind set narrowed down to the current school district I was in. And no doors were opening. I was putting in applications. I worked in the same building with the superintendent. I worked in the same building with the HR department. I knew the HR director. I knew the recruiters, you name it. I knew them. I pursued them. I talked to them in heavy rotation and let them know what I was pursuing. No doors open. I could have easily said, okay, maybe what I thought I was supposed to be doing is not what I should be doing. And that's the reason why I hadn't been teaching up until this point. But I said, no, I know that there's something bigger in store. And that what's in store is I am to be a teacher. And Jocelyn, you don't have to be stuck in this school system, because guess what? This school system is not even the closest to where you live in the first place. This just happened to be where you got a job. So I started applying for teaching positions. I applied for all the elementary school positions because I just knew I was supposed to be in a classroom setting with little people, because that's where I have been as a para. And I love those little nasty little human beings very much. And they were so sweet and they loved on me and I loved on them. But I couldn't get an interview to save my life. I was emailing intros to the principals, and I got nothing. And I could have taken that as a sign that this is not the path that you're supposed to be on. Your thought is not where you should be. And then one day I was at a school function for my oldest son, and his principal from high school was actually his principal from middle school. And I was telling her, you know, hey, I have my certification in special education. So if you know of any positions available at your school, you please let me know. I'm trying to go ahead and move into the classroom. And she says, well, I think that I have one, but the school next door, which is the middle school, has a few, and you know, I think you should apply for it. And she gave me a little like, come on, girl, I'm trying to tell you, go ahead and apply for this position now. So I did just that. Well, I will take that back. At first, I was like, I don't want middle school. I really wanted elementary school. Like, I wanted the little people. Oh, Jesus, these older people, I don't really know if I want to be bothered with them, Lord. What should I do? And after maybe a week of not getting any responses again to these elementary schools, and even tapping into my elementary school people who I know, and most of them was like, we just failed the position. We wish we had known, dog, you know, blah. I finally was like, okay, I'm going ahead and I'm going to apply for this middle school position. It was almost like a womp womp, you know, moment for me. I was just like, oh God, I don't want middle school, okay? But I applied. And then I did exactly what I had done before, which was I sent out an email as an intro to the principal. And within less than 24 hours, I got an email response from the principal's secretary asking if I was available for an interview. Guys, I was scared. I was extremely nervous because I've always interviewed for corporate America, and I had been in a position where, because it was corporate America, I had to look the part. And as you guys see on my social media, and for the visuals who are looking at the video, this is not considered corporate America hair. So I'm like, okay, what should I do? I literally pulled my beautiful mane back into a nice bun. I went in with a nice blazer and slacks. And then I said, oh my God, what if they ask me about like lesson plans? Because as a parent, you have never had to do lesson plans. You are literally like a sidekick. But I had been given the privilege as a parent to have a small group. My teachers use me more like a teacher and less as a parent. Preparation. When I changed my mindset, it got me going in the direction that I wanted to be in. So as I sat there with my nice little bun and my blazer, and I sat in front of some very intimidating individuals, one was the principal, one was the assistant principal, I was like, oh crap, what have I gotten myself into? But all I could do was speak on experience. I spoke on the fact that, you know, I did not decide to just end my education with my bachelor's. I was already almost done with my master's program for special education. I had already passed the certification test to teach special education. I just needed a window of opportunity. And I pretty much said that. And I also let them know that I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to do the research. I'm willing to do the work that it would take for me to be a great teacher, period. I was not trying to put caps on the fact that I was just certified in special education. I wanted to be a good teacher, point blank period. I was invited back for a second interview. This time, it was with who would be my boss, well, my supervisor, and with another assistant principal there. And I walked in with a little more air of confidence because I'm like, you know, well, I got called for a second interview, so I must be good to go. Right? Okay, girl, get it. And in walks this tall black goddess of a woman. And when I say tall, she's tall. And I was like, oh, shrinking down, right? Because she was intimidating looking. And I had to change my mindset again and say, this is you. You got this, girl. Don't cower down. You got called for a second interview for a reason. Go in there and get this. So I changed my mindset again so I can get to where I needed to be. And while one of the questions that I would say was probably saved me is that they asked me about IEPs and if I had ever written one. And I did not hesitate to say, no, I've never written one. But I can tell you what, I've read one. And I can tell you all the important parts of an IEP document. And so I felt like if I knew the different parts of the IEP, I pretty much knew what was required to write one. Yeah, I'm learning now that just because you know the parts doesn't mean that you know how to write it. But at least I knew what it encompassed. And so when I began writing IEPs after I landed the position, it wasn't a hard thing. It wasn't a hard transition. My supervisor actually sat in my first two IEP meetings after I was hired, and she sort of was there to help walk me through it. She led the meetings, but she walked me through what was required. So I knew how an IEP meeting should look. And then it was IEP number 3, and I was left to do it on my own. And I had to put myself in that mindset that you got this. You done set in on 2 of them already. You have someone else in here to help you. Just lead the meeting. Even if you don't write the stuff down that goes into the proper areas, it's going to be documented, whether you write it on a piece of paper or not. It's going to be documented because the person who's in here with you is actually taking the minutes. Okay? So after I have the minutes, I can go back and I can transcribe those things into the IEP where they in the proper parts of the document. And that's it. The legwork that I had to do before pretty much was the IEP, but the minutes had to be in there. So I had already taken care of the hard part before I gotten in there, which was drafting the actual document. And then closing the deal was the minutes, okay? So I was halfway there. After my first solo IEP, my coworker was like, I can't tell that you've never done this before. You know, you did a very good job. You were able to execute it in the time that you needed, and you had your document all together. All of that being said, it was a mindset thing. And then I was moved from one grade level to another grade level this year. So I had to almost like start over within the classroom. But I was also put with a different group of special education teachers who we work together as a team. And this go round, I'm being treated like a seasoned professional. And I've only been in the classroom as a special education teacher for one full year. In addition to that, I have finished out my master's program with the exception of some student teaching that I have to do. I have to do, I think it's 11 to 12 weeks of student teaching. Let's continue talking about when you have the proper mindset, how things start to move in the direction that you're supposed to be so you can get to where you're supposed to be. I reached out to my principal and I said, hey, I'm finishing my master's. Remember, I told you about that during my interview. So I let him know, you should know about this, right? Because this is not new news, right? And I said, I have to do some student teaching. And in an effort for me not to have to become unemployed and you be down a special education teacher, I need to seek to be placed here at this school in the capacity in which I currently am, where I will still get paid, still be able to do the job that I'm supposed to do, but still be able to earn my graduation credits. My wish was granted. On October 9th, I will graduate with my master's in special education. All thanks to the fact that I changed my mindset. I changed the way in which I look to position myself. And instead of just settling for a job that will bring in money, I said I desire to be in the career that I know that I'm destined for, that I know that I was intended to be in, and I accepted it. And then I started making the moves because, as the religious people will say, faith without works is dead. So I couldn't say, okay, God, you know, I'm ready for this. Let's do it. And then sit there and be like, okay, all right, God, what you gonna do? I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm gonna just pray again. Okay, Jesus, you hear me? I keep praying on it. You said that if I asked you, I'll receive. I couldn't do that. I had to also do the work. I've done the work, guys. What work are you doing to change your mindset so that you're not stuck where you are now? But there's some place off in the distance, over yonder, that you desire to be where you desire to be. And you keep looking at that thing, and that thing keep looking back at you, and you keep looking at that thing, and that thing keep looking back at you. And yeah, you get it. You never get to that place. What is it that you can do to change your mindset so that thing that you're looking at and is looking at you, and you're looking at it and it's looking at you, you can get there? What is it that you can do? Start here. Change your thoughts. Change your tone and how you use your tongue. That's huge. Because I actually started by saying, you know, I just want a job. And then it was, okay, I'll just go back to school. And I went back to school. And then it was, okay, what am I going to do with this education? Okay, I'll use my previous skills of corporate America and get me a clerical role in education, because at least they got some summers off. And something kept itching and toying with me in the back of my head. And it was that desire. It was that place that was looking at me, and I kept looking at it and look at me and I'm looking at it and everything. And I was finally like, okay, I hear you. All right, thing. You're just going to keep making me scratch back here, right? You're going to keep itching and annoying me until I do something about it. And I start speaking those things over myself, because you can talk yourself out of the best thing for yourself. Whether it be verbally or mentally, you can literally talk yourself out of where you should be, the things that you should have, the peace that you want, the desires of your heart. And I can honestly say that because I changed the way that I think and changed the way that I talked and started doing the work, everything led up into this extreme moment of me graduating with my master's in special education on October 9th. Furthermore, here's the kicker. January 2020, I'll be taking it a step further because I guess I just love learning. But again, I had to change my mindset for once more when I decided that special education was my true calling. And it's not that I decided. It has literally, when I look back over my life, it has been one of those things that have always been on the frontal, but I tried to like push back and push back and push back. About 2 years ago, I started attending an event called Sister Siesta. And it's supposed to be just a meeting with women, like-minded women, business women of color. When we met, and it was a safe place for us to release our frustrations, to talk amongst ourselves, to network. And I met one of my dearest friends to this very day. Shout out to my sis, Dr. Arcuria Wright. And I looked at this young lady, and it's not the first time that I've come across women of color who are doctors, who are close to my age, because another one of my close friends, she is a doctor as well. But this young lady and I had an instant connection completely based on education. We both had special education background. We both were very passionate about education. And she had already built a nonprofit organization, and she was looking for someone in the special education realm. And her and I connected, and just watching her work her business, talking to her and getting to know her a little bit better, opened my mind to something greater and more vast than just being in the classroom. It actually opened up my eyes to the possibility of working for education for people with disabilities outside of the classroom. Because yeah, you can make a huge difference within the classroom, but for people who have disabilities, there is a bigger fight outside the classroom. And now I'm a children's advocate. And I don't just advocate for children who have disabilities. I advocate for all children. I specialize in those with disabilities. And so when I changed my thoughts again, and where I was trying to put myself in this box and say, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to have my summers off, I'm going to be in the classroom, I changed that to expand to how else can I make a bigger impact on the world of education so that it's more beneficial, not for me, but for the kids who I'm touching each and every day. And I'm like, okay, it's time to go back to school again. Yeah, all right. Okay, here I go again. Yeah, I was picking my nails and everything. I'm sort of like, whoo, child, these student loans and Lord. Going back to school, staying up all night, I'm never getting any sleep. Are you really trying to tell me I need to go back to school, Jesus? And he said, yeah. And so I learned that, okay, I can go back and get my specialist degree. My specialist certification, I believe is what it's actually called. And then as I'm doing my research, and I'm meeting this young lady doctor, and I'm going to say doctor because she knows I make a huge deal about her professing her accomplishment, because we don't often pat ourselves on the back. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get my doctorate. So in January 2020, I will start the process of becoming Dr. Jocelyn Gordon Walker. And I'll be coming back to you guys after it's all said and done as just call me Dr. J. Nicole. How about that, guys? How about changing your mind so that you can get to where you want to be? It's all about a thought process. It's all about thinking it through, putting in the work so that you can get there. Your biggest failure in life is not starting. So, why can't you get to where you want to be? What can you do to get there? Where's your thought process right now? Holla at your girl. Just call me J. Nicole. Make sure you are following me on social media. I'm on Instagram at Just Call Me J. Nicole. And that is Just Call Me J. Nicole. JustCallMe. The letter J. NICOLE. I'm also on Twitter at the number 2. Will confirm. Again, that's 2 will confirm. And as always, you can drop me a note, share some information with me, or even if you would like to be a guest and appear on my podcast by emailing me at justcallmejnicole@gmail.com. Until next time, guys, take care. Change your process up here in your mind. Get your life right. And be blessed, guys.